Is this pulpit getting taller? Or what? Huh? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. It's kind of different today, isn't it? It's good to be different, isn't it? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dave Cooper, would you stand up and pray? Amen. Thank you. Amen. It's always good to have not just one person running the show. Amen. How many know you're a body? Huh? Not here to spectate, right? You're here to receive and here to go out and perpetuate, but not to spectate. All right, I want to look over at Romans chapter 5. And we may do two or three things, but first of all, we're going to start over there. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so sin came in, then death on top of that. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed, it's not counted when there's no law against it. But it was there. So in other words, sin was here. You remember that, you know, even in the day of Noah, there was wickedness above measure. Just like today. Said like as it was in the beginning, it's going to be that way in the end as in the days of Noah. There's wickedness just happening. And then the earth was destroyed. But sin was still there. Go figure. Oh, we saved the righteous people. Let's just save out the good people. Let's just save out the righteous people. Noah and his group. Or me and my group. How's that? Right? Amen. Let's just save our group. You know, I mean, after all, we're not bad. So again, every day, I need to know that from my flesh, I'm starting out as those people in the days of Noah. In my flesh. He that is forgiven much, loveth much. Amen? How much have you been forgiven? Whole boatload. How much are you forgiven daily? Whole boatload. Amen? So in other words, I want to be forgiven greatly daily. So that the love of God, so that I receive it all. So that I receive more and more of it. So how much sin do I want to see? You don't want to see too much. Because, my goodness, you know, then you'd be exceeding sinful. You don't want to see too much. No, don't you want to see it? Don't you want to see it all? Lord, I want to see it all. I want to see it all. Because, see, once you're already living in heaven, it doesn't hurt to see all the sin from your flesh, does it? Because you're forgiven much. You're loving much. Your desire is to know and see everything that has come upon you as sin. And of course, you know, most of us, we're not busy out there sinning, committing adulteries and murderings and all kinds of outward nasty stuff. But most of the stuff that flows through us is backbiting, hatred, jealousies, envyings, strivings. Amen? Do you ever find gossiping? Just name your own. Go ahead. Just like Leslie, just name your own. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody name your own sin. It's name your own sin day. Hallelujah. Those ones that come to us are probably the ones that we do. Right? Amen. I don't mean to get you, Leslie Ann. Yes, I did. God's good, isn't He? He has us confess our own sins. Anybody else? No more? You want to confess them, you want to get rid of the ones that are the ones you hide best. Amen? Get rid of the ones that you hide the best. The ones that you try to ignore the most. I like to do that. You know, I like to feel like I'm walking in happiness and joy, and you know, but then there will come a circumstance. And I'll just stuff my anger. Or I'll just stuff my jealousy. Or stuff my envy. Instead of getting it forgiven. Amen? Anybody ever do that? Just stuffing your sin? Just hiding it? Putting it down under the rug? Confess it. Don't stuff your sin. Don't hide your sin. Don't wait on it. Don't put it over here and say, I'll get to it later. Go ahead and when it comes up, do it right then. Get rid of it then. Amen? Hallelujah. Good preaching. Let's preach something kind of ethereal. Let's preach something about way back out there. No, let's just preach something about us. Amen? It's good to preach about us. So, for until the law, verse 13 of chapter 5, Romans, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not counted. It wasn't imputed because there was no law. Who could know what sin was? There wasn't any law. Nobody told you what sin was. How could you know? Nevertheless, even though there wasn't any law there, sin was there and death did reign. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. That is, he's a type of Jesus. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Not like the offense. The gift is not like the offense. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. So Jesus, the one man wiped them all out. Well, Jesus came and brought us all back. All of us. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So if we'll receive the gift of what? Receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness is a gift. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might, that people might get better. Didn't say that, did it? Why did the law enter? Why did God provide a law? So that the offense might get louder. The offense would get bigger. The offense would be more visible. Amen? Hallelujah. The law came so that the offense would show up. That's why the law came. Did the law came so you could do it, perform it, act it, be it? I'll just wait for the answer to that one. Yeah, two or three of you. Help me out here. Did the law come so you could do it, Did the law come so it would that you would your sin would show up? Amen. That's good. Y'all are participating. This is good. So the law came so that my sins would show up. So it didn't come to fix me, did it? Did it? The law did not come to fix me. The law just came to show me I had a problem. The law just comes to show me I have a problem. So I like Romans. It's explaining the whole point. How many years have we had this book? Just written last month. Should be a bestseller. Setting people free. This book will set you free. Amen? How many years have we had this book? A long time. Finally got translated into English. So moreover, verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound, that the offense might get bigger. Because it was just local. The offense was local. You just sinned against your neighbor and they killed you or they hit you. But then God pointed out the fact that all have sinned. Everybody looks alike. That's another thing, is that, you know, you're not better than the next guy. Amen? Are you the same? Aren't you the same? Are you the very same? Amen? Let's all be equal. Let's all be equally sinful. How's that? Amen? Would you agree with that? I mean, you know, well, I'd rather not. I'd rather not be as bad as the people on that side. You know? Or these people maybe don't want to be like the you people over here. See? You're the same. You know, if I'm exactly the same, I don't have anywhere to boast, do I? Huh? Anybody got anywhere to boast? Are you having a good time yet? Amen. I don't have anywhere to boast. I don't have anything to cheer about. The only thing I have to cheer about is because Jesus loves me. That's the only thing I have to cheer about. The only thing I have to cheer about. The only thing that's available to me. There's nothing else available to me. Young, old, you know. There's nothing else available. You don't get better. You get beat up a lot more. You may learn to hide things, you know, better. You may learn not to do that again because, you know, there are consequences to it, but that's not fixing the problem, is it? You know, if you get caught stealing too many times, you might slow down. If you get caught killing too many times, somebody might put you in jail and stop you. I mean, there is wisdom to hitting your thumb with the same hammer time after time again, isn't it? There comes some natural wisdom. But the fact is that you're not going to get better apart from the gospel, apart from the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not. See, I'm not going to get any better. My trust in the gospel is also in the fulfillment of righteousness through faith. That's the fulfillment of the gospel. It's through faith. It's not through me going back to the law and figuring out if I can pull this off or seeing how many things I can line up on a list of to-dos to get them done. That is not God's interest. God's interest is not in causing you to perform and put something to work. Amen. Hallelujah. That's not His plan. His plan is for you to worship Him and walk with Him, and all the rest of it just begins to take place. Remember we talked about Abraham recently? Is that Abraham did what? To participate in the covenant. He fell asleep. Now what are you doing? God waited till he fell asleep. You know, he was out there cutting and chopping and get those birds off of there. It's like the Grackles downtown Fort Worth, you know. You know, getting the shotguns and trying to get the Grackles out of the water garden. Yeah, we're trying to figure out something. We're going to get our shotgun out and scare the sin birds away. We're going to do all that. You know, we're going to do something to participate in this progress. How many know you don't do? Now, it just runs against everything in me to not participate. It runs against everything in me to not participate. Well, no. We're supposed to. I mean, once Jesus saved me, and we've been preaching this 25 years. Amen? Hey, did y'all know this is our 25th anniversary? I don't mean me, I mean the church. Did y'all count that up? 1980. Where's the tutors? We could have a party. Dude. Hallelujah. 25 years. Glory to God. Norma, have we been here 25 years? That's a good while, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, God's good. So you're not going to perform it. You're not going to do it. See, God is going to do through you. See, get off the old, you're going to lose your old mind, and then we're going to get into chapter 6, and that's going to help you. All right? You have to read this stuff over and over and over and over and over and over. Amen? It's just what we talked about before. What do you do? What's the word? K-E-E-P. Keep. Come over here. Keep. I want you to read Psalm 119. So it's guard, observe. Can y'all read that? Some of you? I can read it. Hold fast. That's the meaning of that word. There's two words. Natsar and Sotar. And they both mean basically the same thing. Two Hebrew words. All right? Keep, hold, guard, hold it near, observe. Moreover, as the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's cool. So here comes the law. How many know the law actually is this? How many of the law is actually that? It's just two-sided. You know that? The law is actually one tablet, but it's two-sided. They didn't waste paper back then. They used both sides. Isn't that cool? Boy, there's conservatism for you. So the law entered. Actually, this guy, first of all, he starts out more like this. Okay? In other words, he's starting out like this. Here comes the law. It's entering. And the offense gets bigger. But at the same time that the law enters, grace enters. Grace did much more abound. Grace is much more powerful, bigger than sin. Do you ever feel like sin is bigger than you? Huh? Anybody? Do you ever feel like sin is bigger than you? You're walking in unbelief. Well, it's a relief, isn't it? You're just walking in more sin. You feel like sin is bigger than you? This is a bigger sin than me. You're walking in unbelief because all of the sin is done away with. The power of sin is done away with. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin had no chance. Sin had no chance. That as sin has reigned to death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6. It's just a letter, so skip the chapter. I don't mean skip the chapter, but skip the marking. What shall we say then? Okay, so what's the answer? What's the conclusion? Shall we say, or shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Let's just keep sinning. Let's just keep on sinning. I mean, after all, I mean, don't we want grace to kind of have a good day? We want grace to have a blessed day. So let's just sin some more if grace just gets bigger every time we sin. That's stupid. That's what that means when it says, God forbid. He said, that's stupid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's because of unbelief, isn't it? Huh? If you're dead to sin, how do you live in it? If you're dead to sin, say, I'm dead to sin. Say it again. That's good. I'm dead to sin. Are you sure? Say it stronger. I'm dead to sin. Okay, see, I'll turn this off. Say, I'm dead to sin. Say, I don't want to intimidate you. I am dead to sin. How shall we, who are dead to sin, live any longer therein? You know how? It's unbelief. Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism. Anybody get baptized? Come on, people. Just raise your hand. Let's not take a long time with this. Mercy. You change preachers, you change styles. You just got to go with the flow. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. Okay, so when you were baptized, dead, buried. You're buried. Buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So you got a new life. You're dead. Say, I'm dead to sin. I've got a new life. See? Oh man, this is good. Y'all are doing so good. So, we're raised up in newness. We should walk in newness of life. For if we have been, how do you like this word? Planted. If we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about that a seed has to go into the ground and die. Yes, amen. They have to go into the ground and die before it lives. So if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be, say shall be, by also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, don't you like know? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Okay, so you have got an old flesh. Remember it? Remember the old flesh? It's the one that kind of keeps showing up from time to time. Forgot where I was. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. Your old man was crucified with Him. The power of sin was crucified with Him. Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Yes, Pastor, I do. I believe that. I believe the power of sin, and we're going to read that in a second, but it's gone. It's gone. It's finished. The power of sin. The problem is that you don't believe that. You believe that when a sin comes up, you ought to do it. I mean, after all, it is rather tempting. And you're still wagging around this thing that likes chocolate. Amen? The thing that likes pizza. The thing that likes gossip. The thing that likes to blame their neighbor. The thing that likes to, you know, when your wife and you are, you know, going after the, you know, well, how come you did that? You know, and how many of you complain? to each other. Anybody? Amen. Praise the Lord. How would you like me to come to your house and stay for in a closet for a while, you know, and you didn't know I was there? Wouldn't that be fun? I don't want you to come to my house either. I mean, we're just nasty, aren't we? Huh? We just treat each other awful. Treat each other like dirt. You know? Or when you have your children come over, you know, and come over to your house, and, you know, it's just you and them, you know, your grown children. You know, some days it's just not pretty, is it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Knowing this, knowing this. Knowing this. Say, knowing this. Knowing this. That our old man is crucified with him. Did you have an old man? Well, my old man made me do it. Everybody said, people used to say the devil made me do it. My old man made me do it. No, just I didn't believe the truth. So each time, daily, this is a daily thing. As I'm daily rejoicing, daily giving thanks, when sin comes, when opportunities are coming, just to rejoice even in the opportunity, even to rejoice once you've done it, give thanks. Once you've even fallen into sin, give thanks to God for His deliverance. Amen? See, so many of us are just so tied up in the things that we just did. Or we're not willing to. We don't even want to admit to it or confess it. Anybody hide sin from God? Any of you good, especially the good people, you know, like the Bible teachers and deacons, and you know, good people. You know, do you hide sin so people don't find you out? I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, because you don't want to get found out. People will think you're not as good as you aren't. You're just no good. You're just no good. I tell you what the preaching of the truth is that you're happy. The preaching of the truth is you're forgiven. The preaching of the truth is, and that's what's going to set somebody free, is that your sin doesn't trouble you because you're not under the power of it. Amen? And you're not trying to prove, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You're just worshiping God with a... I tell you, when you worship God free from sin, that people mad at you. They don't like that. It's kind of like you're not under control, you know, like they are. You're not bound like they are. You're not, you know. Sure, yeah, sure you sin. But the fact is, see, that you know that you're crucified. Amen? Once you know you're crucified, then you quickly get forgiven and you quickly move on and you begin to bear fruit. Now quit looking. Quit checking. See, a lot of you just looking back, checking, and you know, trying to make sure that things is doing okay. Don't be sure things is doing okay. Just worship the Lord. Know that you're forgiven. And walk in newness of life. That we should walk in newness of life. We are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walk in it. Live in it. Walk in it just means to live in it. Live in newness of life. Daily walking. Daily living. Living in newness of life. Do you live in newness of life? Or do you live in oldness of the law? Amen? Oldness of... I wish I could do better. Oh, I wish my family would shape up. Who cares if your family shapes up? Well, I do. I'm just miserable. Well, you're miserable because you don't believe God. You're miserable because you're judging your family. Well, it's really been bad. Well, that's why you're really miserable. The worse you think everybody else is, the more miserable you're going to be. Right? Especially young people, kids, you know, like, you know, this girl back here. I won't name your name. You know who I'm talking about. You know, when you're miserable with stuff that's going on. You know, parents and things like that. You know? But you got to know that God loves you and He will never let you fall. Looks like I've fallen, God. You didn't show up. No. God's just showing you your sin. Amen? He's showing you your sin. You know, when you're a young person, you need to go from law to gospel. Amen? If you got grandchildren or grandchildren, they're getting in their teenage years, or they're kind of getting on up, you know, we're kind of getting past that 10 or 12, you know, like my kids are, the little ones. And you got to get them, you got to let them off the hook, basically. And it's scary to do that. You know, oh my gosh. What if I let them off the hook, then they won't let them off the law. Then, you know, they might not obey. No, the fact is that you got to let them know that once they're finding out that they're not able to keep that law. You see, if they find out that they can't keep the law, there'll be two things that'll happen. One thing, they'll either rebel. Or number two, even worse, they'll become a good Christian. The last thing you want is for a young person to become a good Christian after having been taught the law all their life. Isn't that right? Because about 30, they're going to fall off the wagon. They're going to have a midlife crisis. They're going to freak out. Because you just can't do it. You explode. You can't do it any longer. Amen? So you don't want your children doing that. What you want to do is know that God forgives their sin when they mess up. Well, that'd be like us. Let's just sin all the more so grace will abound. You know, you don't want to tell that to a teenager, do you? You know. Grace, honey. You don't want to tell that. I mean, my heavens, what might happen? Well, that's what God did. God did that. He gave grace. He got rid of the law and He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And He's put His Word. Remember the Word we're talking about? Psalm 119? That's a good scripture. I mean, y'all may think that's the only thing I read. And you're right. You know, you get stuck on things. I always hated that chapter. I'd never read it. Because it was just too long. It's just like, my gosh. You know, it's got that little meter going to it, like a little poem. I hated poetry. Anybody like me? You know? They had kids in high school who could write poetry. I mean, they're weird kids. I mean, like, the drug kids could do it. The drug users, they could write poetry. You know? All kinds of strange stuff. And then just the brains. People with the brains, they could write poetry. I hated it. It's like, yuck. Who wants to know this? But yeah. All of these things. So God, but that Psalm 119 gives me, it just over and over and over and over again gives me the value of God's Word. Of God's, what God has spoken, His testimonies, His statutes, His commandments, His precepts, His Word, His law. It tells me what value that is. And it imparts to me value. See, in my head has been given values, all kinds of other trashy values. Values of this world. Amen? That's what all the textbooks are doing too. They're taking away the true truth of the history of the United States and putting in global values and saying, well, here's how the United States people actually did it, you know, and it was, they really actually were mean to the British. You know, that was just awful how they treated them. I mean, all the British were doing was trying to have tea, and those colonists, they went out and put the tea in the harbor. That's just wicked. Shouldn't have done that. Then they started a war over it. But now things are getting better. We about got it fixed. That's your U.S. history textbook. Called We the People. Dear me. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. How many know your old man's crucified? It looks alive. You get up and comb it hair every morning, don't you? I hope you do. Give it a shower. Treat it real nice. Feed it. Your old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that hereafter we should not serve sin. That's the purpose. That was the purpose of the death of your old man, is that it should not serve sin any longer. Amen. Hallelujah. You know you don't have to serve sin. Is that good news or what? Is that good news? Well, I'm not sure. I kind of like it. See, the thing is, you know, you begin to know, and we're going to find out at the end of this chapter what we like about it, is that sin, well, I'll jump to the end just so we don't, in case we miss it. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. But what that also means is sin, the wages of sin is death. Doesn't just mean eternal death, but the wages of sin itself is death. There's death comes upon your body. Sin just brings death, doesn't it? I mean, your whole body's going to fall apart. You ever seen people who just sin immeasurably? I mean, they're 25 and they look like they're 55. Nothing wrong with being 55. I'll be there soon. But I don't want to look like that if I'm 25. Amen. Sin will kill you. It just kills some of y'all slower. And it just caused you to have grief in your life. It just caused you to have grief. Because you're going to get back at your neighbor. You're going to get back at your husband. You're going to get back at your wife. You're going to get back at your children. You're going to get back at your grandma. You're going to get back at all your people. Let's get back at them. No, forgive them. No! Oh, did I touch a nerve? Forgive them. But you just don't know what you're asking. No, forgive them. Period. Over. Done. I can't. Wrong. Wrong answer. I can't. Wrong answer. Everybody say amen. See, the truth is, you're a forgiver. Amen? Did Jesus forgive you? Well, holy, holy, holy. You could be a forgiver as well. Amen? Did you know that? Knowing this, we're buried with Him. You're dead. This is so good because, see, you want to remember this tomorrow morning. You don't remember this at lunch when you have a fight over where you want to go to eat. Amen? I didn't say don't have a fight. I just, I saw that poke. Yes. Anybody else? People punching each other out there. Amen. Need to repent for punching one another. Hallelujah. Oh, this is good. No, just forgive immediately. I can't. No, lie. You're lying. You're listening to your emotions, aren't you? Huh? Are you listening to your emotions? Do your emotions rule you? Say amen, they do. In other words, we're talking flesh. We're just agreeing. Yes, they do. Now you turn around and tell the truth. Quit being honest and now tell the truth. Quit talking according to your experience and now talk according to the truth. Let's talk according to the truth. Amen? Let's agree with the truth. I want to agree with the truth because then, see, sin doesn't have any more power over me. It doesn't have any more power over me to begin with. But see, I believed a lie. I'm believing something else. How do you know? How many know that you're believing a lie and that's what's you're causing you to still walk in sin, is you believe in a lie? Huh? That's true. You're believing lies. Because the power of sin has been destroyed. For he that is dead is freed from sin. She that is dead is freed from sin. Say, I'm free from sin. Don't feel like I'm free from sin. No, you're free from sin. Forget what you feel like. Just agree with the Scripture. Hallelujah. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died, He died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, in the same way, reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon just means, what it means to reckon? Reckon means to write it down this way. Reckon it means to count it like this. Count it other than the way it's looking. Other than what is apparent, you count it this way. Reckon it. Calculate it this way so it comes out the way I'm telling you. Reckon yourselves, therefore, dead unto sin and alive unto God. You're dead unto sin. I'm happy to be dead unto sin. See, if I start walking like that and agreeing with God and believing in that, just because I sin, I don't count that. Because I'm dead to sin. I have a flesh that still does some sins, but I write that off. I say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm free from that. I confess that. I'm clean from that. I'm cleansed from that. And I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking in love. I'm walking in peace. Amen? And you become a demonstration because you're filled with peace. You're having on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, girding with truth around you, walking around with the shoes of peace. You know, walking around with shoes of peace is good because you don't cause strife everywhere you go. Amen? Having the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God. That's your weapon. Your weapon is the Word of God. You remember Jesus? You remember Jesus, don't you? Now who's that? Jesus with the devil up on the mountain. It is written. Tempted him to sin. It is written. See, you prepare for temptation just by filling yourself up with God's promise. Jesus walked according to God's promise. Amen? Because he knew God was good for his promise. You're walking according to God's promise because you know the truth. Knowing this. We just talked about it. Knowing this. Knowing this. Knowing, knowing, knowing. Not thinking this, not hoping this, not wishing this, knowing this. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, dead indeed. For real, without fail, dead indeed. Indeed's a good word. Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments, don't yield them to instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That's verse 14 of chapter 6. Are you happy about that one? I'm happy about that one. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That's a promise. You agree with that? I'm talking about spitting on your neighbor. I'm talking about, chewing out your kids and your wife just because they didn't, they lost the remote control. Amen. Guys, come on. Or she's on you for that stupid thing you bought. Hallelujah. Amen. Honey, forgive me. No. I will not forgive you. I'm going to use this one for a while. I'm going to enjoy this one for a while. Don't we enjoy holding people's sins against them? Huh? It makes us so good. We're just so good. And then when we point out that they're holding our sins against them and the preacher is preaching about it, then we love to let them know that, hey, the preacher's preaching to you. It's always fun to watch people from up here. You know? It's fun. Because everybody's poking each other. It's kind of like, he's talking to you. Sinner! I always like to point out that over in Ephesians, when he's talking to wives, what does he say? When he's talking to the wives. And who's talking to him? Who's doing the talking? God. Paul. Okay, Paul. God. And God says, wives, submit to your husbands. Well, was he talking to the husbands and saying, husbands, tell your wives to submit to you? Is that what he said? He wasn't even talking to the husbands. What are you getting in on their conversation? I mean, he's talking to the wives. What are you listening for? You get over there. Amen. When God's talking to your wife, just you shut up and stay over where you are. Now, wives, when God's talking to your husband, you shut up and get over there. Now, God's talking to husband. Love your wife. Now, you don't want to tell him, hey, you're supposed to love me. The Bible says, God said. Well, how do you know what God said? He wasn't talking to you. He was talking to me. A little private conversation. Are you getting this? God's talking to you. He's not talking to you to talk to your other. You know, you're supposed to love me. You're supposed to submit to me. Well, knock it off. Just submit and just love in proper order. Husbands, love your wives. I'll just pretend I'm God. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. There you have it. Now, if they're not doing it, you go to Jesus. Don't come to me. Now, I'm not God. Don't come to me. No, you just go to Jesus and suffer as if you were good. No, you're not. You're not perfect. You're not. You have no legs to stand on. Amen. If he's messing up, you still have no legs to stand on. If she's messing up, you still have no legs to stand on. You're just as wicked. You're exactly the same. You agree with that? But you're forgiven too. Amen. So you're alive unto God, walking in newness of life. Are you happy about that? See, let all the sins go down. The drain, all the anger, all the retribution. Just let not sin. Says, remember where it said there? Let not sin reign in your mortal body. Let not. How do you let not? You walk according to the promise. The promise is sin shall no longer have any dominion over you. So that's how you let not. Amen? Well, to let it have dominion over you is to believe that it has dominion over you. Does that make sense? To let it reign over you is to believe that it does have dominion over you. This sin can run my life. This sin can make me sin. No, the Scripture tells me that because I'm in Christ, that He is living in me, reigning in me, and sin shall no longer have dominion over me. I say to that, amen. I agree. Young people, don't do stupid stuff. Rejoice. Learn to trust God. Love God. He's already told you in the Scripture what he's done for you. Your parents were just too dumb too long to know it in advance. Took them longer to find it out. Why don't you find out now? Amen. You go ahead and find out now that God loves you, you're forgiven, and sin doesn't have any reign over you. Amen. You don't have to do what everybody else does. It's like parents. They don't have to do what everybody else does either. But they do. God's good, isn't He? He loves you. He loves you so much. Hallelujah. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Verse 14. But what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? That's stupid. God forbid. Stick to the text. Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are? If you give yourself to sin to obey sin, you're the slave of sin. Whether of sin to death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. From the heart. That is, you stood in faith. You believed God. You believed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being made then free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. So once you're freed from sin, listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit did on the inside of you. As you became freed from sin, you are now a servant of righteousness. You want to think on that. You want to receive that every day. Amen? I'm no longer a slave to sin. Sin doesn't have any dominion. Sin has no longer dominion over me. I'm not fighting sin. How many know you're not fighting sin? Amen? Well, yes, I am. No. I'm going to change your mind. I want you to meditate on these things because this is what the Word of God teaches. Is that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Do you believe that? Amen. Yes, I do. I believe sin no longer has dominion over me. Therefore, I don't let it reign. Because when it comes, it can't reign. When it comes, it cannot happen. When it comes, it can't rule me. When my anger rises up to get retribution over what my family did, my wife did, my husband did, my children did, my boss did, I don't retribute. Is that a word? Whatever. I don't take retribution. I don't get them back. Because I don't have to. Doesn't buy me anything. Amen. But rather to walk in love. Jesus didn't have to get back at anybody. Amen? Well, that was Jesus. Well, same Holy Spirit that lives in him lives in you. Same. Read chapter 8. We won't get there today. Being then made free from sin, verse 18, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, to holiness, sanctification, separateness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. That's back before you were born again. You were free from righteousness. And it was apparent. And everybody could see it. That guy is free from righteousness. That girl, she is free from righteousness. She is not bound to righteousness, that's for sure. My, my. But now, you're freed from sin. Do you know you're free from sin? Well, I want you to make sure you write down Romans 6, 14 and Romans 6, 18. I want you to make sure you write those down, just the reference at least, and I want you to go back and meditate upon those. Okay? There are two things. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under grace. And verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Are you free from sin? Now don't check your calendar. You know, don't check your diary, which said, well, I killed somebody yesterday, or didn't. Don't check your diary. Don't let the devil write your diary for you. For when you were, verse 20, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin. Now. Being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. You can write down 22 too. Write that one down. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now being made free from sin. So sin shall not have dominion over you. You're being made free from sin. You're servant of righteousness. But now, being made free from sin, you become servants to God and have your fruit to holiness to the end of everlasting life. One last little thing here. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, he prays a prayer. Verse 16 says, I cease not to give thanks for you in my making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, since the eyes of your understanding are enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavens, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And He's put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, to the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. Verse 1 of chapter 2, and you has He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You has He made alive. You were dead, but now you're alive. How many know sin doesn't have any dominion over you? Amen? I want you to meditate on that. I want you to think about that. I want you to bring these things to your remembrance. Giving your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, reasonable worship, because of the power of the sacrifice and the ministry that He has given to you. Be not conformed, made into the image of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come out of the old into the new, out of death into life, out of lies into truth. This is what we're doing today, is we're coming out of lies into truth. Quit looking at your neighbor. Quit looking at your family. Look at the promise. Jesus has brought you out of death into life. Death, from death to life. You have passed from death unto life. It's like a dead person. Well, they passed. So-and-so passed the other day. They passed from what? Death in this life is death. The body, even your old yucky body, it's dead. And you've actually, as a Christian, as a believer, you when you die, you have passed from death unto life. Let's stand together. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just bless You, glorify You. Thank You, Lord God, for causing us to know the truth, and the truth is making us free. We're no longer walking under bondage. We're not walking under sickness and death and unbelief. We're no longer walking under the power of sin. Well, I just can't seem to get past it. No, it's not true. The truth is I'm free. The truth is the Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of me, and I'm trusting Him. I'm walking in it. I'm walking in it. Hallelujah! 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 I live in freedom from sin. Sin doesn't have any dominion over me. You talk like that. Talk like that and walk like that. Sin doesn't have any dominion over me. Men, women. Hallelujah. Maybe you got a guy who's a crazy Jesus guy. Well, you'd be a crazy Jesus woman then. Sin doesn't have any dominion over me. Maybe you got a crazy Jesus woman. Well, you'd be a crazy Jesus man. Amen? Hallelujah. Whoo! Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, You're so good. You're so good. And I'm free. I'm so free. Hallelujah. Whew. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope according to the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Depart in His peace. And the Lord bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. All right? Come and repent tonight. Repentance, 6 o'clock. Hey, if you're meeting with Pastor Z about the toys, the biker toys, yeah.
No.
Hey, there it is.
Hello, everybody. Can we just do this real quick? I'll guarantee you 5 minutes and we'll
be all gone.
Just 5 minutes. Could I have all the men, whether you're young or old, good looking or not, just come up here real quick, all the men.
Come on, guys. Let's just come up and have a little bit of a meeting.
It'll take 5 minutes and I'll send you home. I know it's not demonic. I know it's not demons or anything. I know it's your stomach
Amen.
Is growling.
All the guys, if you
go ahead and sit down, take a quick seat, 5 minutes. That's all I need of your time. Where's Dave?